presented by the Esports Research Network and the Media Management and Transformation Center in Jönköping, Sweden.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Esports Research Report. I'm Steph Orm from Emmanuel College at Boston in the United States, where I work with collegiate esports programs and curriculum.
And I'm Brian McCauley here in Sweden, where I am at the Media Management Transformation Center in Jönköping, the city of DreamHack. And our guest today is Dr. Aaron Kashi, who is a medical doctor, a PhD student, and chief editor and founder of the new journal for esports, the International Journal of Esports. Welcome to the show, Aaron, and can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you very much for inviting me on your show. My name's Aaron. I'm an academic cardiologist in England. I've got a big interest in technologies and heart failure, and unsurprisingly also in esports. And I've noticed over the last few years, there was a real interest in promoting more esports research, and there's a lot of good research out there. And the real aim was to try and collate it all in one place and publish some really good stuff for everyone to read.
Fantastic. So, Aaron, we always like to, on our show, start off asking people for their definition of esports. So what's yours?
Mine's very simple. I just think it's... So it's just competitive video gaming.
Simple.
Yep, that's fair enough. That's my simple answer to people too. So let's hear about what's your personal interest in esports research. What's your area?
So I find biophysical monitoring pretty interesting. It's got a lot of overlap in cardiology, where you can monitor things like blood pressure, heart rate, and a lot of other common physiological parameters. I think there's a lot of opportunity here to understand what's going on clinically or physiologically when players are performing during esports activity, and potentially down the line we can correlate it with good or bad performance, and as well the health aspect. If the training is going well, if there are other aspects of their nutritional and wellness are being taken care of in the training aspect.
So no energy drinks and chips. That if you're on the standard esports diet, you're going to perform poorly.
Well, I think it depends who you're sponsored by, isn't it?
That's why I didn't say a brand name.
Well, that's super interesting, Aaron. And so you just launched the International Journal of Esports. Congratulations on that. Very impressive. Tell us a little bit about how that came to fruition.
Well, I've been looking at esports research for the last 2 to 3 years, and I've noticed there's a lot of it, and it's very disseminated in the internet. And because it's so multidisciplinary, it's hard to keep track of it all. The other thing that became obvious to me is that the quality of publications and research itself is quite variable, and in my opinion, generally quite poor. I found myself reading, how did this get published? And where was the peer review process in that article? And the bit that really got me irritated, as I'm sure many academics as well, is when you start reading the same thing over and over again in that first 1,000-2,000 words, where it's yet again the history of esports, the definition of esports, which of course no one really agrees on, and then the play-by-play, which just is essentially a lot of waffle. So I think it just seemed remarkably poor compared to other areas that are being researched. So I thought there's a real need here. I discussed it with some academics in England and then in Europe and then in America. And it sounded like, indeed, this was a problem that no one was really doing anything about. So I was really lucky to actually start off with a really good set of people who found this to be a genuine problem, and also connecting with technical people. That allowed us to create a pipeline from beginning to end, i.e. from submission to publication, that we have control of, rather than needing to pay a lot of money to other people or having to essentially just use their products for our journal. And because we've got that independent control, we've got control over really reducing any fees that have to be introduced, so there are no barriers to publication throughout the world, because we know that some countries just can't afford it. They don't have funding for esports research. And certainly even some specialties, such as the humanities, traditionally don't get funded as much as the sciences. So we're aware of that, and we're trying to make sure that those typical problems that happen around the funding don't happen within our journal. Our main USP is really quality. Otherwise, we'd be just like everyone else. So we've got within our editorial board people that are experts in esports and their own disciplines. And we really make sure that is where the due diligence occurs. So we get some submissions, we finesse it to the highest level, publish it in an open access form so that everyone around the world can read it free of charge, regardless of background or geography. And that is really, I think, the correct ethos for getting really high quality research out there to everyone.
Another thing you kind of do is you have a 5,000 word limit on your papers. And is that a deliberate choice? What's the reasoning behind that?
I think the reality is you shouldn't really need much more. If you're really going beyond that, it probably should be split apart into multiple different articles. At the end of the day, an article should represent a pretty high level of academic focus into an area that answers hopefully an interesting question. If you're broadening to a thesis level, you're probably touching on multiple areas and potentially not answering any of it. So I think it's better in the modern age where people don't have as much time to focus on certain things to answer a question, do it well. And that also feeds into our secondary ideas of esports research isn't just for the academics. It's for people that don't have an academic background. In fact, with the fact that esports is so commercially led, we should be really encouraging industry leaders, esports enthusiasts, students across the world to read this research, because it can improve their performance, their industry, their goods and services that they create or provide. And that's what leads into the virtuous circle of that will then come back into esports research funding, which I'm sure we'll touch on soon.
Yeah, I mean, that's really good, because there's so many papers I look at and go, oh, you're using a lot of big words here. So that makes your paper seem very clever rather than tell a simple story. And I think that's a really good thing that you're doing there. With the open access, I mean, how will you kind of fund operations? I mean, your fees are free until December, but what's the plan after that?
After December, we're going to introduce a small fee around the $200 mark. And that's simply to support the infrastructure and the peer review process and the presentation and the article itself to be left online for the indefinite future. So that's where usually the cost amount. And that amount is actually the absolute minimum we can get away with, as we've got an in-house technical team and we're really in this project for the long term. We're also developing partnerships with industry whereby we're showing that there's a lot of value here in academic research and that it will actually end up improving your goods and services and the value you provide in the industry. So by creating these partnerships, we bring in more money into the journal that then subsidize costs for research and researchers to publish their research. So I think by more collaboration, we improve the value of the research and the implementation of the work. And that then makes it more financially intelligent to then invest in more research through the journal and beyond.
You have that industry board as part of it. And I think that's quite an unusual thing. I mean, academia, I'm in a business school, so I get these conversations a lot more about, oh, we must involve industry. Oh, we must engage. I mean, one marketing journal at the top end said, oh, don't forget practitioners read our papers too. And I was just thinking, no, they don't. They don't. They don't get all excited about the next issue of this. They go, let's look at our market data reports from Nielsen. Let's look at our metrics and stuff like that. So this industry board seems like a really cool, valuable thing. So what's the reasoning behind that? And what sort of composition do you have with that?
I think you're absolutely right. I think academia traditionally really avoids any contact with the outside world, especially anything commercially led. And I think it's mainly down to the perception of conflicts of interest. And that's a real worry, isn't it? If your study is funded by company X and you're showing a positive sign, everyone, rightly so, will question if there is bias involved in that study. I think when it comes to esports, that approach of really living in the ivory tower doesn't make as much sense because A, you're not disseminating the research as far as it could be, and B, you're not working with the actual industry leaders, the organizations that develop, create, and actually decide on what's going on in the sector in many cases. So there has to be that conversation, and that's really where our industry board is right now. It's so that we know, we say, this is us, this is the journal and the research we're doing, and we'd like to learn more about the work you're doing in your sector, whether it be infrastructure or cloud computing. And that allows the researchers to understand, oh, they're investing in cloud computing, we need to do more research in that, rather than 3 years down the line, the researchers and the academics playing catch up and having to work out what is going on and what we need to understand more. On the flip side, by showing that the value of the research we're doing adds greater understanding and essentially is potentially an R&D arm of the organization, makes their investment usually more valuable and they can hopefully market themselves better. I think down the line that we've had a bit of interest from some organizations around the world to organize research because there are lots of companies that are focused in one sector of industry of esports and they're thinking, oh, I wish we could learn more about this. And if we can provide that opportunity, that is generally a good thing because it allows academics to do more of the research they want to do and it allows the companies to focus on where they see their markets growing. So if it's done well, it should really be beneficial. And my personal opinion on this matter is, where is the funding for esports research actually going to come from? My unfortunate cynical mind is suggesting that governments and educational grants will be very slow in coming and dripping down to academics that are working in esports right now. I think that will be 5 to 10 years in the future when we see real sums of money. On the other hand, the commercial entities have the money and interest now. And if we can have that conversation, say we could make it go much further and probably focus in more interesting directions, I think that's a brilliant conversation that adds value to both groups.
I think that's a great idea, Aaron. I think you're spot on too about the strengths of those partnerships, right? Helping each other out in so many ways. So tell us a little bit about, you know, the journal launched. You've published some articles already, which is really exciting. Can you give us a look into a couple of those topics, what's been covered in that first issue?
Yeah, sure. So our first issue had 4 articles that launched, and they're over a few different areas. The article that I helped co-author was focusing on biophysical monitoring equipment. So really looking at what could we do in terms of assessing things like heart rate, blood pressure, HRV even, and seeing if that's an interesting set of markers to monitor performance. We had Andy's article looking at really, is there more that we should be doing around the wellness side of esports? Which organizations have looked into this and actually developed some guidance around it? We've got Seth Jenny's interesting article looking at what is the actual value of esports. Often we just take valuations and numbers without looking into the working out. And what I really like about that article in particular is they've shown or they're working out. And if you don't agree with part of it, at least you can see where they came from. So I think that's a brilliant article and I hope a lot more people read into it. And our last article was by yourself, Brian, and that's where, as a co-author, and you showed that the Smash Bros community is a very eclectic community all across the world, and they're probably one of the big leaders in entrepreneurship in the space, essentially because they've had to be, and they've actually got a lot of success out of it.
Well, actually, you know, I'm biased, so obviously I would like to say that the paper I did with those 2 master students and Leon Acton Hagen was the best one. But actually, I loved Seth Jenny's paper because I've been arguing with this $1 billion valuation without any grounding. And even though I can't follow his working, because it's very statistical and complicated, but I agree with it. I mean, even if they're wrong, even if they're overestimating, the $1 billion original estimate was just insane to me that esports is 0.75% of the entire gaming industry. So I really love that at least there's a question, and I would say between the two, Seth Jenny's article is probably closer to the truth. So there's another thing we want to talk about here is that, and it sounds like, you know, between your PhD, being a cardiologist, running this journal, you've decided to take on another lot of work and for the editorial board too, apparently, which is a student essay competition. What is going on there, Aaron? What are you doing? This sounds amazing, but it's very unusual, but I really like it. What is it?
I think it just needed to be done. There are a lot of people around the world that are interested in esports, and a lot of them happen to be students. And unfortunately, there isn't much to offer them right now, both at a high school and undergraduate level. We essentially say, please take your passion, find an internship somewhere, but we don't really have anything much to offer, unfortunately. And I genuinely wanted to do something here based on the passion that I saw from all the students around me. And that's where things like the industry board really come into fruition. There are like-minded individuals in these organizations that felt the same. We were really lucky to have a good conversation with Dell Technologies, and they were happy to sponsor this opportunity in offering this year the International IJE Sports Essay Competition. And that's open to high schoolers, senior school individuals, and undergraduates all across the world in answering one of two questions. And we receive all those submissions, and then the winners will be judged. And the prizes look pretty good. It's a lot of Alienware equipment, something I would personally like, but it was not for me. But also some cash prizes and a publication in the journal. And I think that will go a long way to helping those students who were the best stand out and hopefully get the careers they want.
That's a fantastic initiative. I love that. And having the support of the journal and getting these students, publication support right off the bat, I think is really critical. So yeah, I applaud that project. That's great. Can you tell us a little bit about the interview section?
Yeah, sure. So it's a bit like this. We wanted to keep it quite casual and focus on what the interviewee found interesting. And what we focused on is bringing people from different walks of life within esports. So, for example, we had Nipo from the legal side of esports. We've had Danielle from Dell Technologies. We're really interested in learning about what these individuals actually do on a day-to-day life. And that's for a couple of reasons. One, I think there's a lot of people that, as I said, find esports a really interesting career option and want to know what are these people actually doing from 9 to 5 and how do they move the industry forward. So the second part is the research side. It was about bringing that conversation closer together, where we learn more about what these individuals are doing within their sector, and then hopefully how research that is focused in certain areas could promote, enhance that work. And hopefully that's come across in the interviews. So really, it's an opportunity to have a casual conversation, but hopefully really push across that there is a lot of application in esports research that we haven't really touched yet.
So I love all this stuff. I love this innovation. I think academia is ripe for disruption. I think it's insane that we go on the sort of systems that that guy Robert Maxwell started so long ago, and he's so much power centralized with so many very, very, very profitable institutions where we do all the work, then we do more work for them, then we buy back our own work to share it. It's mad, right? And I'm on the editorial board, of course, because I agree with your vision of open access and dissemination of esports research, which is also, in line with the goals of the Esports Research Network. So it's all fantastic. So I guess our question here is, what do you predict as the, it's a big one, what do you predict as the future of academic publishing?
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's similar to, I think that's where we positioned ourselves. I think we see the future as moving away from the traditional model of, unfortunately, a double drip system where academics pay to get their work sometimes published and readers have to pay to read the work, which essentially means very few people read the work, because the normal individual will not pay $50 to read a piece of research. In fact, the irony is even academics won't pay that amount. So at the end of the day, the only people that read the research are people that happen to be working for a university, that have a subscription to the journal, and then eventually get access to the journal after they go through all the various login systems. We're trying to do all away with that, and we're following the real trend towards open access. And that allows anyone in the world to read the research once it's published. I think this is the way things are moving in the future. currently and for the foreseeable future. For example, in the UK, the UK government and the majority of universities have signed a contract or an obligation towards open access only for within the next 3 to 4 years. And that's really, especially for government level funded studies, where the government realized, and American governments have also realized, that if the government have paid for the research and the community can't benefit from the research, there's a problem. So a few different large organizations have followed this bandwagon of realizing that we need to have more open access. We need to be much more inclusive with who is able to read and learn from the research. So I think that's why we're positioning ourselves here. I think we're doing a few innovative things, such as the social media side, the video interview side, as well as bringing towards industry bodies, because that's, I think, how we fast track research and actually position it better for the future as well.
So then, Aaron, what would be some topics that you hope to see in your journal in the near future? What are areas of esports that you think need more exploration right now?
So I may surprise you, but I actually want to see everything. I want to see psychology. I want to see business. I want to see legal aspects. I want to see the medical aspects, of course. I genuinely find all of it very interesting. And not only that, they're all very important. Esports is a big entity, but at the same time, it's growing. We need research in all different disciplines with regards to esports. So that's why we made the editorial decision so far to cover everything we can. It may be in years 2, 3, and 4, we see such a demand in one area, for example, healthcare, where it needs its own dedicated space or even a sister journal. But for now, we just want to really publish the best research in each discipline.
Thanks for that, Aaron. If anyone wants to know more, you can follow Aaron's links below this video. You can remember the International Journal of Esports is free. It's open access, so you can share it with anyone. You can throw it on social media. And of course, most importantly, you can read it for free without having to go through a university website. So thank you very much, Aaron. Thanks for coming on the show.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. Good luck and have fun, as Tobias always says.